Judges chapter 16. Like us to consider this morning the words of verse 20. Judges 16 and verse 20, and she, Delilah, said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Having told Delilah all his heart, as we pointed out last Sabbath morning, Samson was now in the control and under the control of Delilah. Telling her all his heart was like giving away his heart to her. And when you have the heart of an individual, then that individual is under your control. For the Christian, the heart is the seat of the affections. The heart is the Savior's royal throne. And if the Lord is not on his throne, then he is not in control of the Christian's life. But if the heart belongs to the Lord, we're not talking about the soul. The Christian's soul belongs to the Lord. Nothing can change that. But the heart being the throne of Christ, the heart being the seat of the affections, if the heart does not belong to Christ, then Christ doesn't have control of our lives. And if the heart belongs to the Lord, then the Lord controls the man. Proverbs 21 verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. What happens when the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? What happens when your heart is in the hand of the Lord? The verse goes on to say, as the rivers of water, he turneth it, whithersoever he will. So when the heart is under the control of the Lord, and God is upon his throne, then that life is under the control of the Lord himself. As the Lord turns the waters in the river, so he'll turn the child of God, and the child of God will obey the will of the Lord. Once again, Proverbs 23 and verse 26. Solomon there says, "My son, give me thine heart." And the rest of the verse says, "And let thine eyes observe my ways." You see, whenever the son's heart has been given over to the father, then the son will observe all the ways of the father. When we have given our heart to the Lord, then we will observe the ways of the Lord and walk in them. But it was Delilah. It was Delilah who was turning the heart of Samson, and she made it known. Look at verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. She might as well have said, he has given me all his heart. Means the same thing. He showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. But notice the wording. Delilah said, or rather it is written in verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, when she saw, doesn't say when she realized or when she believed he had given her, told her all his heart. No, she said when she saw he had told her all his heart. When Samson abandoned his heart to Delilah, she immediately saw the difference. It must have been very evident to Delilah that Samson's heart no longer had been given over to the Lord to do his will and to serve him as a Nazarite. Samson had now given his heart to Delilah, and Delilah could see the evidence of it. When she saw, she obviously could see a difference in Samson. And it is true that whenever the Lord is no longer ruling the heart of the Christian, the onlooker can see the difference. There is an outward, visible difference in the way that Christian, that believer lives. Oh, they're saved all right. Yes, a work of grace has been wrought in their soul. But if their heart is not sold out to the Lord, if the heart has been given over to the world, the heart has been given over to a Delilah, then others will see the difference. It'll be very evident. That person is no longer walking with the Lord. That person's no longer sold out to God. That person no longer serves his Savior. They no longer have a heart for the worship of the Lord. No longer have a heart for the work of God. No longer have a heart for the ways of the Lord. And it's very evident. As it was evident to Delilah that Samson had given away his heart to her when she saw. So what lessons may we learn from the mistakes that Samson made? We've learned many lessons, I believe, and there are many more to learn. First of all, let us consider the capitulation of Samson. Samson had held out against continuous questioning by Delilah for a long time. She had continually questioned him and pestered him about where the secret of his great strength lay. And he held out. And he refused to tell her until she stepped up her efforts. For we read in verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, we're told, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Delilah, you're going to kill me. Well, you're pestering me and you're questioning me day and daily. Until he came to the point where he could hold out no longer. And it was then he told her all his heart. He capitulated. Here we see his submission. Delilah had battered the strong man into submission with her questions, with her words. Now he is almost like clay in her hand. He offers no resistance. You see that? No resistance. Verse 19, she made them sleep on her knees. No resistance. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. No resistance. Satan uses the same ploy. Satan uses the same tactic to wear us down. And to wear us down with his tauntings and his lying accusations. He endeavors to beat us into submission until we yield to his temptations. And he overthrows us. That's what he's about, day and daily. But we might learn from the mistakes of Samson on how to combat this tactic of the devil. You look at Samson, as we pointed out last week, with this continual barrage of questions. Why didn't Samson get up out of that house and go back home? That was the first thing he should have done after he made the mistake in going there in the first place. He should have removed himself from the house of Delilah. Why did Samson go to the house of this woman in the first place? And when he went there, why did he remain there? Until she pressed him to yield to her questioning. It's the same with us. We should never put ourselves in the place where the devil can come and tempt us. We should remove ourselves from the place of temptation. Like Joseph, when he ran from the house of Potiphar, he wasn't going to stay in the house of temptation. He fled from that house. And so it must be with us. To turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 5. I look upon the book of Proverbs as the book of common sense. Really, that's what it's all about, common sense. In Proverbs 5 and verse 3, Solomon here talks about the strange woman. You could say he's talking about Delilah. Verse 3, he says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." My, you'd think Solomon was describing Delilah. And verse 6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her." There it is. "And come not nigh the door of her house." Remove yourself. Get out of her house. Yea, don't even come near the door of her house. Solomon says, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children." Listen to me. common sense, isn't it? This is the book of common sense. And Solomon is saying, use common sense. Don't put yourself in the place of temptation, in the place of danger. And since Satan seeks our downfall, we always ought to remove ourselves from the house or the way of temptation. Something else we are to do. There must be not only our removal, but our resistance. Samson could no longer resist the pressure put on him by Delilah to reveal the secret of his strength. So that led to his submission and to his ultimate defeat and downfall. Paul speaks about those who have not yet resisted unto death. Samson should have resisted unto death. And we are told that our adversary is to be resisted. James 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves unto God. Sadly, Samson submitted himself unto Delilah. When she won over his heart, she submitted herself, or he submitted himself to her. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. And God will give you the grace to resist the devil. That's what we're to do. We're not to give place to the devil. We're to resist him. That word resist means to set against. It means to withstand. We hear about the spirit of Antichrist. Well, you know what we are to be? We are to be anti-devil. For that's what the word means. We're to be against the devil. And everything that he does, we're to set ourselves against the devil. We're to withstand his railing accusations. Paul says in Ephesians 4 verse 27, neither give place to the devil. There must be no room given to the devil. And we must let it be made known. There's no room for the devil in our lives. He's to be resisted. So we're to remove ourselves from the place of temptation. We're to resist the tempter. And he is also to be rebuked. Delilah, we are told, pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Was it not time for him to rebuke this woman? But that rebuke never came. And so it is with Satan. When he seeks to beat us into submission, it's time for him to be rebuked. Now that's not our task. That's not the task of the Christian. Christians should never talk to the devil. The Christian should never address the devil. That's the Lord's task. That's the teaching of Scripture. The Lord rebukes the devil. Would you turn, please, to the book of the prophet Zechariah. In Zechariah, in chapter 3. Zechariah 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Satan, standing at his right hand to resist him. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, it wasn't Joshua, the high priest. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? My servant Joshua, my high priest, he is a brand plucked out of the fire. And there's the Lord coming to the aid of his servant Joshua. And he stands up for Joshua and he protects Joshua. And the Lord is the one who rebukes Satan. That's not our business. And when the devil comes at us and he vexes us with his continual battering of us, with his railing accusations, we should pray, Lord, rebuke the devil for me. That's what we're to do. Satan will not succeed in beating us into submission if the Lord rebukes him. Praise the Lord. So we have seen Samson and his submission, and we notice Samson and his slumbers. Remember what we said about owning the heart and controlling the man? Well, here's the example of it in verse 19. Samson has told her all his heart. In other words, Samson has given her all his heart. Verse 19, and she made him. See? He's under her control. She made him sleep upon her knees. Here then is another example of Samson's capitulation to the wishes of Delilah. She made him sleep, and it was while he slept that he was shorn of his seven locks, the symbol of his separation unto God. That was the sign of the Nazarite. When anyone looked upon this, a man with the seven locks of hair, people said, that man's a Nazarite. He's separated unto the Lord. He'll live a holy life, that man. But while Samson slept on the knees of Delilah, he was shorn of that sign, that symbol of a separation. He lost the mark of a separation. The gift that God had given to him to slay Israel's enemies, he lost his strength. The gift, the outstanding gift that God had given to Samson, Samson had it taken away. And it was taken away while he slept in his slumber. Now, Samson knew what Delilah was about. After all, she had told him. She wanted to know the secret of his strength, that he might be bound and that he might be afflicted. She told him that. Now, if you knew there was a lion roaming about the woods around here, you would be alert every time you went out. Samson was not alert. Samson slept on the knees of Delilah. We need to be alert to the wiles of the devil. If we slumber and sleep, we will be unaware of what is taking place and what damage and hurt the devil can inflict upon us. You turn again to the book of Proverbs, the book of common sense. Proverbs chapter 6. And Proverbs 6 has something to say about sleeping and slumbering. We all need our sleep. Of course, the body needs rest. But that's not what Solomon's speaking about here. But in Proverbs 6 and verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, you'll be robbed of whatever you have. Little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You'll be like a traveler in the way. You'll be overcome. You'll be robbed of all your precious possessions. Samson was robbed of his strength. And his mark of separation. And his mark of consecration. And it all happened when he was slumbering. Believer, we can slumber even as we walk about. We need to be alert. There's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. There's a roaring lion stalking us. We need to be alert. The Savior told his disciples, you need to be alert. For he said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, lest ye enter into the snare of the devil. Watch. The word watch there means to be awake. Means to be vigilant. Paul said, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. These are the words of men that know. This is the word of God. And God is telling us today to watch and pray. Be awake. There's a lion about. There's a lion in the street. Need to be watchful. Just as Samson knew what Delilah's intentions were, you and I know what are the intentions of the devil. You know. We're all aware. We're not ignorant of the ways of the devil. We know what he's about. We know he wants to pull us down. We know he wants to destroy us. We know he wants to take away our peace and our happiness. We know that. Therefore, let us be alert. Watch for the lion. Next we see that Samson was shorn. Samson was not alert. Delilah certainly was. For there we read in verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. Didn't waste any time. Saying, come up this once. In other words, come at once. Come immediately. He has told me all his heart. He has given me all his heart. He has told me the secret. Come at once. You know, the devil doesn't waste any time. Satan will not waste any time to gain an advantage over a child of God. I believe the Lord taught this when he told the parable of the sower. He told the story and then he interpreted it to his disciples. And in Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Satan cometh immediately. He knows he cannot allow the word to stay in the hearer's heart. And so he comes immediately. He's alert. He wastes no time to drag down the child of God. Here is Samson. And we know that for a long time his heart was not with the Lord. For a long time. But now it can be seen in his outward appearance. The seven locks of God. Now it can be seen. The sign, the symbol of his separation and consecration to God has been removed and is plain for all to see. Delilah does now what she promised she would do. She began to afflict him, verse 19. She promised she would do that, verse 6 of chapter 16. And the devil has told us what he will do if we stray from the side of the Lord. Once again, we're all aware of what the devil is about. If we happen to stray from the Lord, the devil will come immediately. Whenever Peter promised the Lord that he would go with the Lord all the way to prison and even to death, the Lord stopped him and said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, but I have prayed for thee. You see, from that point on, Peter began to follow the Lord afar off. He strayed away from the side of the Savior. And when he strayed away from the side of the Savior, that's when Satan desired to have him. Praise the Lord for his prayers. Had it not been for the prayers of the Savior, Satan would have had Peter and would have sifted him as wheat. We can thank God, we should thank the Lord every day for his prayers. For we'll not know until we get to heaven the full value of the prayers of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And those things that his prayers delivered us from. If it wasn't for prayers of Christ, Satan would have had Peter and would have sifted him as wheat. When Peter drifted away from the Lord, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to stray from the side of the Savior. Believer, there's a lion about. Look at the calamity for Samson. What a calamity. We read in verse 19 that she began to afflict him and his strength went from him. And whenever he awoke, he says, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What a calamity. You look at those words, I looked at those words and thought of Samson there and the seven locks of his hair gone, the symbol of his strength and his separation and consecration to God. Strength is gone. The Lord has gone. And I thought of Samson and his poverty. Look at him. What does he have? He has nothing. Oh, he's the judge of Israel. Judged Israel for 20 years. But look at him now. The man who when he started out showed so much promise. Now his strength has gone from him. And who gave him that strength? The Lord gave it to him. And who took that strength from him? Delilah. And there's Samson in his poverty. She has stolen his strength. You know, believer, the devil is one of the greatest thieves ever. He's always thieving. He'll steal our joy. He'll steal our happiness. He'll steal away our peace. He'll steal our time. He'll steal our days. He will steal our years. And before we know it, our race is run. And we have nothing to show for it. He has stolen our time. Time we should have given to the Lord. The devil has stolen it away. Our days, our years that should have been given to God and consecration to him and his service have been taken up with lesser things. Things that don't matter. And the devil has stolen our days. And when the Lord came to that fig tree, the leaves were there, but there was no fruit. That would be a calamity, would it not? If and when we stand before God, we stand before him bearing nothing but leaves. We look back on our days and we see how the devil has stolen so many things from us. Stolen our burden for souls. Stolen away our zeal. Stolen our love for the lost. Where is it now? Will there be any stars? Any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed, in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Or will the devil have stolen everything from us? That we end our days like Samson in spiritual poverty. Nothing to show. Nothing to cast at the Savior's feet. What a calamity this was for Samson. Look at his past. When Delilah cried in the ears of the slumbering Samson, these words, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Poor Samson, poor Samson. He doesn't realize what has happened to him. His strength is gone. His mark of consecration to God is gone. The Lord is gone. And he doesn't even know it. He thought about what he had done in the past. I'll go out as I did before. He's looking back to the past. He's looking to the victories of a past day. But Samson, you're in a new battle. The victories of the past are no good now. And you know, it is true. Many of God's people live in the past. They talk about the great meetings in the past, the great seasons of prayer, the great soul-winning campaigns. Yeah, the great answers to prayer. But what now? What has happened? What have we lost? What has been taken from us? We've lost our power. We've lost our zeal. We've lost our strength. We've lost our burden. We've lost the unction. I told you one time before about visiting a very famous church. In years gone by, it was filled to capacity, 1,200 people there every Sabbath day. I remember going visiting that church in recent years. One of the men who happened to be working there that day gave us a tour of the building. And you know, whenever we finished the tour, I thought about what the man had said. And I don't believe he said one thing about what was happening in that church today. All he talked about was the good old days. When the church was packed and souls were being saved. And people were crowding in to hear the word. He never mentioned today. Because I know that today that church is almost empty. They're living in the past. Samson was living in the past. You have his presumption. He presumed the Lord was still with him, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What a calamity this was. What a tragedy and what a catastrophe. The Lord was departed from him, and he wist not. He didn't know. He lost the favorable presence of his God, and he wasn't even aware of it. That's the tragedy. It is easy to go on day after day without being aware of the absence of the Lord. Did not Mary and Joseph go a full day's journey before they missed the Lord Jesus? They went a full day before they realized the Lord was not in their company. And it took them 3 days to find them. You know, we can go on day after day and not realize maybe the Lord has left us. We've lost the favorable presence of our Savior. believer, these are things that we cannot leave the supposition. These are important matters. We must make sure that God is with us. We must look for evidences of His presence. And on an individual basis, we must make our calling and election sure. Is God with me? Is God in my heart? Has God saved my soul? We must look for the evidence. Evidences of grace. Can't leave it to chance. Can't leave it to supposition. Supposing the Lord is here. Church at Laodicea, suppose the Lord was in their midst. Instead He was standing outside the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the door of the Laodicean church. And they didn't even know it. You have the capture of Samson. The haste that the Philistines took him, wasted no time. The horrors. Where did they begin their punishment of Samson? They bored out his eyes. His eyes. It was through the eye gate that Samson's sin entered into his heart. It was when he saw an harlot in Gaza. That's where the punishment began. I remember a man. He had one of the vilest tongues that I'd ever heard, even on my unsaved days. Filthy tongue. Who that man died of? Cancer of the throat. And I thought to myself, the Lord had His own way of silencing that individual. That's where his punishment began. So it was with Samson. And his place. Where did they bring him? They brought him to Gaza. That's where it all started. Back to the scene of the crime. I'm sure Samson wished he'd never seen Gaza. But then there's hope. It's been a depressing lesson in the life of Samson, this. But things are now turning for the better. Because we read in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. There's hope. Samson may have lost the locks of his hair. He may have lost his strength. But grace was still there. Delilah couldn't take the work of grace away from Samson. There was still hope. And we'll consider that in the will of the Lord next Sabbath day. Let us bow our heads now in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal God, we know that these things are written for our learning. And we pray, Lord, Thou would make us then ready students of the Word. We pray, our God, we might take Thy Word to heart. And, O Lord, may we learn